along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts rubbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead, get up.
Hello and welcome to the Red Robin Podcast, powered by Budget Size Auto Centre and 360 Chartered Accountants, the independent Hulkington Rovers podcast.
Hello and welcome to everybody listening in East Hull, Perpignan and beyond. Joining me this week is podcast regular James Perlin, plus we hear from Pistol, Rob and Morgan from the North Queensland Cowboys on the Ranch podcast, as we give you the lowdown on new recruit Petr Hicku. Plus, we discuss Petr Hicku, of course, Jordan Abdul's new contract, Lachlan Coote's latest HIA, injuries to Batchelor and Sue, Tom Opacic returning to Oz, and the potential signing of Niall Evels. I don't think I've forgot anything there, James. Again, it's going to be another bumper podcast of the Red Robin Podcast Weekly. James, let's start with our defeat to Salford that magic weekend, though. We've just been talking about you stayed over on the Friday night. You took in all the games on the Saturday. I was there just for the Rovers game. We came back pretty much straight after the full-time hooter. What was your experience of magic weekend, James?
Despite about the bit between half past one and about half past three, really. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Newcastle, if I'm honest. And I thought we got there quite early to the ground because obviously we were out of the hotel fairly early. And I was expecting more from like the fan zone. You know, there was just like a few, you know, eating places and a stage, and that was it, and nothing going on really. And then, you know, a couple of merchandise stands from the RFL, and yeah, that was it really. I thought, well, you know, they're supposed to make this big thing about it and getting everybody together and everything, but I just felt that was a real disappointment. And yeah, to be honest, in the past, I've not really gone on the fan zone. I've just gone straight in the ground, etc. And on that thing, I didn't really feel as though I really missed it. Anything on that? The actual day itself, obviously, Rovers was disappointing. I think, the Wigan-Catalan games, you know, very quite one-sided in the end. You know, and obviously, Catalan, I think, put the queue on the rack with 20 minutes to go, saving themselves for a bigger battle on this coming Saturday. But the best game was the Leeds Cast game. And we were sat with all the Cast fans who were making, you know, quite a din, really. Although they did happen to use a drum to sort of create some atmosphere. So, it was all right. But like I said, it's a long day. Sunday was just a write-off for us. We were absolutely knackered going about 11 o'clock. So it'd be interesting what they do with it in the future and where they take it. I think that's the thing as well.
And of course, we did a Magic Weekend podcast special last week. Lots of ideas thrown about on there about how we could maybe improve Magic Weekend, what the future holds for it. So there is definitely something to look forward to, because I do think it's going to be around for a while yet, James. But what it looks like and how it's presented is probably going to be what's decided over the next few months, ready for the next season. But Rovers did go down 26 points to 16 against Salford. We was actually leading 12-10 at half-time. The Rovers scorers were Ryan Hall, George King and Elliot Minchella, with Lachlan Coote scoring two conversions. The Salford scorers were former Robins, Chris Atkins, Ken Seo and Burgess, with Sneed kicking seven conversions, which ultimately had a massive impact on the game. James, if you look at it as a whole, Matt Brady, great to see you join us on YouTube. Derek Barkham, same to you. Michael Morton, hello to you. Mark said, can you mention we've only had one bad performance all season, yet people are writing us off? Derek said, well said, Mark. I couldn't agree more. It's bad enough hearing crowing. Never mind doom and gloom from our own side. The lads deserve better. And let's put this in perspective. It wasn't Rovers' best performance. And James, I dare say it was Salford's best performance either. Yet it was disappointing for so many reasons and probably so many uncharacteristic reasons.
Yeah, I think you know, I was actually really looking forward to the game, because I thought actually it could potentially be the best game of the whole weekend, because, you know, considering the relative positions of both teams, it's actually potential for being quite a pivotal game in each you know, for overs and Salford seasons. You know, we come off a couple of narrow defeats to Wigan and Warrington. They'd sort of, you know, obviously sort of beaten the world's best team ever in the previous week. So yeah, and I think overall, looking back on it, you know, it was actually quite a disappointing game, really. I think, you know, agree with Mark on the comment. I think, you know, it's probably, I think I tweeted afterwards on the morning after. I think it's just one of those days. You know, sometimes you get them, and you know, whatever you do, it happens. Nothing seems to go right for it. You know, we weren't hammered. You know, the fact that we're still in the game at half, in the lead at half time, having played, you know, probably, like I said, probably the worst half all season, was well, it's staggering, really. And actually said, actually, there probably is still quite a lot of resilience in his team. But, you know, second half, I just think it was the ill-discipline and the sort of, you know, piggybacking, allowing Salford to piggyback up the field to gain that position that just ultimately did us. And the fact that you say that Sneed kicked seven goals just really shows, really, you can't give a kicker of his quality, you know, the opportunity to kick any penalties, really, within your own half, because he'll take it and he'll punish you. So yeah, it was disappointing, but you know, we weren't hammered. I'm putting it down to one of those days, and we'll go again on Saturday against Catalan.
Yeah, it was only the second time this season that we've lost by a double digit. So we lost to Leigh by 5 points. We lost to Warrington by 6 points. We lost to Catalan by 14 points, which is the most this season. When we played Wire again, we lost by 7 points. We lost to Wigan by 4 points. This was a 10-point margin. So, it does reflect that the Robins, when we do lose, we're not a million miles away from victory. And even if when you look towards the end of the game, Rovers was still very much within it. And I think Willie Peter said in the press conference afterwards that, yes, it wasn't the best performance, but the boys do still give us a chance of getting a victory, no matter how they seem to be performing. But you only have to look at some of the stats, James, to see where the problems lie. 17 errors, which is the fourth most in Super League. 9 penalties given away. We're second in Super League for the most penalties given away on 85. I mean, Corey Hall and Ryan Hall both each made 4 errors. Mikey Lewis gave away 4 penalties. And there was just some really uncharacteristic stuff, wasn't there? And I think what typified it for me was in that first half when Rovers managed to get the ball. Corey Hall looked to be making a break. He was about to be tackled or going to touch. He chucks the ball behind him. Salford player reacts, gets the ball. And it was just every time we seemed to get a bit of a leg up, you know, Salford would make a mistake. Every time we got an opportunity like that, we just seemed to cough up possession. And it was almost like, I don't know, James, it was only more when I watched it back, maybe not so much live, but when I watched the game back, we just seemed to be forcing it too much. And I wonder if we was guilty of just trying to make things happen because we thought Salford would be, you know, gung-ho, fast attack, that if we didn't make things happen, we could be on the end of a big scoreline. But like I said, just some really uncharacteristic mistakes, just things that Rovers haven't been doing throughout the course of the season. And Willie Peters, as you could tell, was very frustrated at the end of the game at the way the Robins performed.
Yeah, I think that is it. It's just uncharacteristic errors. And I think that was a frustrating thing. It wasn't making the error on the, you know, the fourth or the fifth tackle. It was making it on the first or the second. And that was the number of times we did that was just putting pressure on themselves. And, you know, going back to that Corey Hall incident, I think, yeah, it was. I think I could see why he did it because, like I say, he probably felt as though he was heading towards touch and thought, well, actually, throw the ball in. But there was no need to do it. You know, that probably comes down to a bit of inexperience from him. And I think, you know, he probably didn't have his best game since he's been with the club. But now there's lots of other players who didn't have that. But he'll learn from it. And I think, you know, there's plenty of players within the club who will sort of help him and support him and just sort of, you know, help him out. Like I said, the main thing is as long as he's going to learn from it, and that's the key. But, you know, the errors and the ill-discipline, you know, you know, we just seem to invite penalties, you know, and the, you know, Dean Hadley getting sin binned for these his late hit on Snead. You know, I had no problem with that at all. You know, when you look at it again on the screen, it was late. You know, Snead obviously made a meal of it by laying down as long as he did. But you're just inviting, you know, Kendall to give penalties. And now the incident with Ryan Brierley when, you know, a gust of wind blew him over and, you know, after Lewis had gone in. I think the way Mikey went in, you know, again, he was probably inviting Kendall to give a penalty for that when he didn't need to do it. And I think you tweeted, I think, you know, after the game about perhaps Mikey was trying too hard. I think he was. You know, I think you're right. You know, he's obviously been missing Abdul, who was probably more of a, you know, quite a calming influence for him. And he felt as though he probably had to sort of take the game by the scruff of the neck. And he was probably getting frustrated as well. And I think, you know, that incident with Brian, I think, was just purely out of frustration. And you could tell other incidents where he'd get put a kick in, Salford player would grab hold of him, and he was just throwing him away, you know, because he was frustrated. Yeah. And the boot incident as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that boot again, it shows probably just that bit of rawness that's still there. Yeah. You know, yeah. Something he didn't need to do. I mean, with Mikey Lewis, he does play close to the line. He's got a fiery personality when he's on the pitch.
We've cried out for something like that. And you know, you look at other teams who've got those sort of players who do that and, you know, get under the skin of the opposition. You know, we've missed that, you know, over the years. You know, probably going back to probably Travis Burns was probably the last one we had who would get under the opposition's skin. And we need that. And it, you know, puts that pressure on the opposition, forcing them into errors. And I think, you know, Mike is great at that. But like I say, he does go close to the wind sometime. But again, that's probably due to, you know, lack of experience. But he'll learn from it. You know, and there's good people around the club to support him and, you know, guide him on that. And, you know, it'll come good. And just, yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing is with Mikey as well, James, he has took on extra responsibility.
You
know, in the absence of Jordan Abdul, his games had to change slightly for the benefit of the team. I mean, Willie Peters admitted in this week's press conference that earlier on in the season, he'd have probably been dropped if he wanted to start the season based on his performances. But he's come back. I mean, he's definitely one of the first names on the team sheet, and him and Jez Litton are still the only two players to play every game this season for the Robins. Mikey Lewis, he's young. He is raw. He's got a lot to learn. And I suppose, you know, sometimes it'll go in his favour, sometimes it won't. And the skill for him will be to learn when to get under people's skin, when to ruffle the feathers, and how to maybe be a bit more discreet about it, so it's not right in the face of the referee. Like you said, I mean, some of the penalties that were given on Saturday, frustrating for many Rovers fans, but we allowed the referee to have to make a decision by just some really stupid plays. I mean, talking of plays, I think one of our best players was Elliot Minchella's try. Fantastic break down the middle. We saw Parcell go. I mean, Parcell was our top meter maker on Saturday. He made 142 meters. He goes down the middle, offloads to Coote, who then passes it on to Minchella. And that was a fantastic bit of play from the Robins, and it showed everything that we could do. And I don't know about you, James, Elliot Minchella seems to be really thriving at the moment, and a player whose game seems to be going up to that next level now.
I totally agree with you. And I think for me, if we're looking for a captain for next season when Kenny Dow retires, I think for me, it's got to be Minchella. You know, I think he's the vice captain at the moment, but he has got those leadership qualities. And that try he got was just superb. And I think it was just really, but again, that was the thing that highlighted, you know, the times we actually did string something together. Yeah, there were few and far between, but that was one instance. You know, Ryan Hall's try was a good instance. And then, you know, George King, you know, just barnstorming over, you know, from, you know, 10, 15 yards out. Again, we did get up there. We took the chance when we could, but it was too few and far between. But, yeah, I think Minchella's really has stepped up to the plate in the last few games. He seems to have found, you know, his natural, you know, really solid position playing at loose man, seems to be able to guide the team around, but also I think just has that knack of being able to create, you know, the potential to create something out of nothing. You know, I think he's quite deceptively fast, you know, and he's, you know, very strong as well. and just seems to be, you know, there at the right time.
Yeah, Kev Hodgson on YouTube, he said that Hadley's late hit on Snead was the big turning point. For me, one of the biggest, if not the biggest turning point, I suppose, James, was the injury to James Batchelor. Obviously down for a good few minutes. Thankfully, he managed to go to hospital and he was okay at the time. Subsequently, he's now out for the season. He's going to have to wear a neck brace, I think, for at least the next 10 weeks, I think it is. We wish him all the best, of course. I mean, such a pivotal player he's been for us so far this season. Before Saturday's game, he was our top tackler. And I think we lost something massive when he went off, just in the middle of the park and the work rate he gets through, the tackles he makes. Of course, some of the smart runs he makes. We did just seem to lose a little bit when Batchelor went off. And I do think that was a big turning point.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it really was, you know, a sickening incident, you know, just to sort of see him lay there. And, you know, it was great that I was able to sort of, you know, go home in the evening and sort of, yeah, he's having to, you know, obviously having to wear the neck brace. But, you know, we just obviously wish him a speedy recovery and come back as strong as possible. But he's probably been, you know, our best signing out of all the lot we made. I think we knew what we're getting with Batch. And he certainly hasn't disappointed. And I think he's actually become even better than we expected. But like I said, I think once he went off, we just seemed to lose that oomph and that solidity in defence. And perhaps there was an element, perhaps that, you know, the players, I mean, I think Willie Peters commented on it, didn't he, that, you know, both teams really, the intensity sort of dropped off a little bit after the incident, which is understandable. You know, they've seen a professional, fellow professional stretched off in, you know, unfortunate circumstances. But yeah, he's, you know, he does sort of seem to make things tick, and just, you know, not only his tackling, you know, his defence, but, you know, just being able to pop up and, you know, get, you know, a knack of scoring, you know, sort of popping up and scoring tries. And obviously the pass he did at Warrington as well, he didn't think he had, but, you know, it's another skill that, you know, he's got, and he is going to be missed over the next, you know, for the probably, you know, probably however long it takes for him to get to a full recovery. And we obviously hope it's as, you know, as quickly as possible, but, you know, his health has got to be the ultimate priority.
Yeah, 100%. Joe Withers over on YouTube, he says, Elliot Minchella for him is the best 13 in the league. He's got everything, strong runner, strong defender and good ball player. I totally agree. It'd be very interesting to see what happens when the next round of international call-ups come up, but God knows when that may be with the international game being on its absolute arse. So unfortunately you probably have to wait a long time through no fault of his own. Sean Kennedy-Dowell, James, where do you stand on the issue of him playing out on the right wing at the moment? Because obviously highlight defeats do start to highlight certain fragilities. We've moved SKD out to the right wing to accommodate Corey Hall, who, when he first got his opportunity to play, did very, very well and deserved to retain his spot in the team. We've started to see a few cracks in his performance, which is understandable. He's still a young player. He's still very raw. Yeah. He's not necessarily the player for now, but he's going to be a big player for us going forward. But we can see now he got subbed on Saturday. Sam Wood came on to take his place. The game previously, we saw Corey Hall and SKD having to swap because Corey Hall was out on the right wing that time. Is it time now? And I think Willie Peters has said it's going to happen. He said in his press conference that SKD goes back to left centre.
Yeah, he's got to go back. I think, you know, you've got to give Corey Hall all the credit for, you know, stepping into that position and, you know, sort of essentially being in playing so well that, you know, Kennedy-Dowell couldn't get back into his, you know, his probably favoured position of left centre, and then having to be shoved out onto the wing to accommodate him, because, you know, again, a player of the quality of Kennedy-Dowell, who's, you know, played for the Kiwis on the wing, you know, and played the NRL on the wing, you know, he's clearly got that skills and the capability. But for us, his best position just seems to be left centre, and I think now we've got to have Kennedy-Dowell in that left centre, you know, and partnering the bumping up the average age of that left edge with Ryan Hall and Kane Annett. You know, they just, you know, we just seem to be a different team when those three are together on that edge. You know, there's a lot more solidity about it. And I think, you know, teams have probably got wise to it as well. With nurses, you know, obviously Kenny Dalby being shoved out to the wing, and there's probably sensing a bit of weakness on that left edge, and they seem to have attacked it a bit more over the last sort of couple of last few games. I think Wigan did particularly, obviously, in the last home game at Craven Park. I think, you know, Kenny Dalby's got to be back in the centre. Then it's a question of who do you put on the right wing? And for me, I'd put Senior on the wing, because it just seems bizarre that we've got this wing out and out winger who has got pace, but we just can't seem to get him. Doesn't seem to be able to get in the team.
Yeah, well, hold your thoughts on that, James, because we'll come to the Catalan game and possible team selection for that very soon. The last word on Magic Weekend. I mean, full credit to the Rovers supporters who made the trip up to Newcastle. It was an absolutely fantastic turnout. I think the noise they generated in the Gallowgate was amazing. It was great to see so much red and white, and probably the only time that you will see so much red and white in the Gallowgate end, which is traditionally the home end for Newcastle United. So fantastic there. Great support, and also a new attendance record set during the game. I think 17,000 were in for the opening game there, and that was a new record. The most people they've ever had at Magic Weekend for the opening game was Hull Kingston Rose v Salford. So it shows you how much people were looking forward to the game. And I don't know about you, James. I've watched the coverage back on Sky, and Sky have come in for some pelters this season for the coverage and some. But I thought the coverage of the game was absolutely fantastic. That the pre-game, the halftime, afterwards, John Wells in the changing room. I just thought it was really good coverage, and it was, you could understand why maybe Sky, who show the games, want to retain Magic Weekend, because you can see that they up their game when it comes to Magic Weekend in terms of the coverage.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to watch anything back on the Friday from the Saturdays, because I was sort of Sky recorder packed up. But on the Sunday, it was just really good coverage. I think, you know, like you say, I think Sky sometimes get some unfair criticism on the coverage. I don't have a problem with, you know, the summarise with John Wells, Brian Carney. You know, perhaps the need to sort of freshen up the commentary team a bit. You know, I think that's probably got a bit stale, to be honest. But when that, you know, they have like people like Mark Wilson on, I think that sort of improves it quite a lot. But other than that, I think they do the game a great. They did great coverage on, you know, what I saw on the Sunday. Interesting though, one thing I did sort of see on somebody posted online, and I thought, actually thinking about it, is actually probably a great idea. You know, obviously there's been a lot of things in the press, people saying we should have the captain's challenge in the Super League. Perhaps, you know, Magic Weekend might be the best, would have been a good opportunity to trial it. You know, because for it to be successful, obviously you need all the games to be covered, and Magic is the only time you're going to get that. So it would have been interesting to maybe trial it and just see what sort of impact it did have, whether it was something that would work in the British game.
Yeah, it's a great shout, James. And with it being, showpiece event where all the teams are in one place, it'd be a fantastic opportunity to trial it. Let us know what you think in the comments section. Would you like to see Captain's Challenge brought in at Magic Weekend? Would you like to see the Captain's Challenge brought in Super League in general? There's lots of calls for it, especially people who watch the NRL. We see what goes on down there with it, so there's lots of calls for it. Let's move on now to new signings. Of course, we've had the announcement that Oliver Gildart will be joining the Robins next season, and also New Zealand international Peter Hicko, who is currently playing for North Queensland Cowboys. He's played every game of the season for them so far. I caught up with the guys on the On the Ranch podcast, which is a North Queensland Cowboys podcast, just to find out a bit more about Petr Hicko this season and last season, what Rovers fans can expect from him, and reasons why we should be excited. And I tell you what, you're going to enjoy what these guys say, because it sounds like we're getting a real steal with Petr Hicko. Now, something a little bit different as we introduce the On the Ranch
North Queensland Cowboys podcast. We've got Pistol, Rob and Morgan who are joining me to discuss Rovers' new signing, Petr Heku, who's coming on a three-year deal to the Robins. 30 years old at the moment. He'll be 31 when he comes across to East Hull. Of course, a New Zealand international with 17 caps to his name. 191 appearances, 58 tries. This season, he's played in all 12 games for the Cowboys. He's featured in every minute of every game, apart from the round 6 defeat to the Dolphins and the round 7 defeat to the Warriors. 12 appearances, like I said, 4 try assists, 20 tackle breaks, and an 82.4% tackle efficiency. Pistol, Rob, Morgan, great to have you on board with the Red Robin podcast. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having us here, Johnny.
Excellent. Yeah,
yeah. Good to be here.
You know a whole lot more about Pet Hecker than we do, by the sounds of things.
Yeah, but my problem is I have to write everything down because if I rely on my memory, I'd be screwed. That's the bottom line. So it might sound impressive, but literally I've just copied and pasted most things.
Don't worry, that's pretty much our entire show.
Just tell us a little bit about the On the Ranch podcast.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a pet project for Pistol and myself, Rob. We started this one probably 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years now, 137 episodes. We just recorded our 137th. So it's just a weekly wrap of the Cowboys and what we observed on the field, what we expect coming into it. We've had a couple of the players on the show, so that's a good thing. You know, Scotty Drinkwater, we had the coach on last year, so that was a pretty big win for us. And yeah, it's just been cruising along, and we're just fans. We've never played the game, but we know it. You know, we watch it through blue and yellow coloured goggles and provide our own take on it. So
yeah, I definitely encourage any of my listeners and viewers to tune into the On the Ranch podcast. Very entertaining. I've listened to a couple of episodes. And it's just great to get fans' opinion, and this is why I wanted to speak to you guys about, especially Petr Heku coming over to the Robins, because yes, you see all the stuff in the media, you know, all the stuff in the newspapers, etc., but it's great to get a fan's opinion on what is happening and what might happen, and people's opinions on how the players are doing, etc. He's been with you for a couple of seasons now. He's into his second season with the Cowboys. How would you rate Petr Heku this season?
He's been pretty solid defensively and, you know, solid in attack. There's been, I suppose the Cowboys have had a pretty average start to the season, but across the board. So there's been a few sort of defensive lapses here and there, but it's not squarely on Petr Heku. He's been very solid where he is, but it's just one of those things where, you know, the team's not gelling this year or hasn't been up until sort of recently. So yeah, it's sort of hard to judge where the fault lies there. But all last year, he's definitely one of our more solid centres, without a doubt.
Yeah, Jono, when he'd come on last year, he was, you know, he was one of two signings to the club. Him and Chad Townsend were the two blokes that Toddy Payton came after as a bit of a rebuild to the club. And he has offered nothing but solid defence, good enterprising attack. He can cover basically every position in the back line. It's going to be a bit of a sad loss seeing him go, to be honest, because he has tightened up that right edge of ours. And like I said, he's got silky hands and he can offload at will. And when he's on, yeah, there's no one in front of him that can stop him.
Yeah. Would you say the recent round 14 victory over Melbourne, was that his best performance of the season so far?
It'd be up there with one of his bests. There was a game earlier in the year, I think it was against Titans, that he was silky on with that one as well. So, but definitely he made a good few line breaks, good meters, but again, just shoring up that right end defensive side has been great. And we kept the likes of, I mean, Olam went off after the 30 odd minute, but you're defending Olam and Coates and no one really, that there was only one try that went down there, and I don't think anyone would have stopped that in any club.
And he had a debut winger for the team on his side as well. So the communication there wasn't mature on that edge, and they still did a pretty good job. So solid. And he was very solid last year. He lights up against his previous clubs, no doubt. Against the Warriors, he always has a good game. he's always solid.
If it wasn't for some of his defense last year, we wouldn't have got, you know, a couple of minutes away from being in the grand final.
Correct.
Cowboys don't make the prelim final without Pat Hiku in the side, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, another player we brought over from the NRL at the start of this season was Tom Opacik. Of course, another former Cowboy. Can you see any likeness between them two? And I mean, Tom Opacik, very solid in defence. He's already had 5 wing partners this season. He's pretty solid. It's the people around him who seem to be faltering a little bit, but he's so solid. Is there any likeness between him and Pat Hiku?
Tom's got a bit more toe than Pat, I reckon. He's a bit quicker than in a line break sort of situation. But Tom was fantastic in the NRL. It was actually sad seeing him leave the Cowboys, to be honest, when he went to Parramatta. But you can't keep them all in the squad and at the time.
Poor Tommy had a bit of an issue where he was with the club during one of our rebuild periods, sort of in between our heydays and sort of where we were last year. So he probably wasn't with us during our best of times, but he went on and played brilliantly for Parramatta. So
in a grand final last year.
That's so. Right. Yeah. So, you know, he's definitely solid. And I would say Pat Hiku reminds me probably a little bit more of Kane Linnett.
Yeah.
Than Tom Opacik in style of play and sort of how they are defensively and in attack. So they've got the solid carries. And they can make a tackle when they need to.
Yeah, how has Kane been over there? Johnny, how's Kane been for you over there?
Oh, he's absolutely wonderful. I mean, he just signed a contract extension to give him one more year over here. He's got his family over here. He's settled and he's just been absolutely gold ever since he signed back in 2015. He's your go-to man, really, Mr. Dependable. I bet he's a coach's dream because he's not a player he probably has to worry about. He just gets through his work to a very high standard, if not, you know, 7, 8 out of 10 every single game. And I think we got a real steal when he came over from the NRL. And he's made a great career for himself over at Hull Kingston Rovers. And he will be regarded as one of our overseas greats. I think his contribution to the side over the years has been absolutely fantastic. And you will not find a bad word said about him and his contribution to the club.
He's just a workhorse and a toiler, and with those sediments as well. Pet's only 31, I think, now as well, and so you're basically getting another Kane Linnett when Hiku comes at the end of this season as well. So all signs are looking good for Hull KR.
Yeah, what's really interesting though is that head coach Willie Peters has earmarked Pet Hiku for the fullback role. I know he's a versatile player, but if you look over the last few seasons, centre has been his predominant position. Are you surprised to see him being linked with a fullback position?
No, because look, being a staunch Cowboy supporter, whenever Hiku's a player that always stands out when he played for Manly and Warriors for us, and he dominated when he was at fullback. I think there was a game for the Warriors. He scored a hat-trick against us in that number one role as well. I'm not surprised to hear him do that. I think he played a bit of fullback for Manly as well at crucial times. He's even filled in at 5'8". So if he's been earmarked as the fullback, who's your current fullback over there at the moment?
Well, it's the retiring Lachlan Kuhl, of course. Yep. 2015 Grand Final winner, 2016 World Club Challenge winner with the Cowboys. He's announced his retirement just a few weeks ago. Last season, he had to finish the season early due to suffering, I think, 3 head knocks. He's just suffered another one this weekend, which is going to keep him out for at least the next couple of weeks. He's the current fullback, but I think injuries have started to take a toll on his career, which is why he's retiring. But, I mean, a player who's made a fantastic contribution, not just for the Robins, but for the Cowboys as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's a shame to hear. We're a bit unprivy to that sort of information over here. And that's a shame to hear from Cootie because he was definitely a pivotal point for us. And I'm glad he's done a great justice for you guys over there. I think at Pet with being 31, I think when you'll get him next year, or 32, fullback won't be beyond him. You know, like he can cover across all that. And you know what? Come halfway through the season, you've got a gun centre, and you've also got a good 5'8" there with the one player. So
Yeah, and we're certainly looking forward to seeing him. And it's been we got our fingers burnt a few years ago when we signed Brad Takarangi, Albert Vette, Corbin Sims. You only have to look at where they've ended up now in their careers to realise maybe we didn't sign players that were probably at the best of their careers. But someone like Petr Hicku, I mean, we've got Oliver Gildart who's coming across as well from the NRL. You know, we've got some really top-notch players coming across. And are you surprised, I suppose, to see players like Petr Hicku come into the Super League when you like you've already admitted that you'd be quite happy to see him in a cowboy shirt for next season at least?
We've got a lot of young talent coming through at the moment, definitely at the Cowboys. The junior program has been very solid for the last couple of years. So there's a lot of boys waiting in the wings. There's a lot of competition for spots. And while, in fact, you would have seen it on the weekend, Kyle Felt got benched. He was 18th man going into the game, and he's been a stalwart since 2015. So
191 first grade appearances.
So. Yeah. So, you know, competition for spots is fierce, and whether Petr Hicku has just seen that, you know, not so much the writing on the wall, or is after a change, or, you know, maybe he's had a frank chat with the coach and he's just seen that, you know, we've got the likes of Zach Labert, his brother, these guys waiting in the wings who, I don't want to say they'll run rings around the young fellas, but they will run rings around the young fellas. They are quick, and it's a lot to compete with for these older guys. So maybe he's seen it that way. While he's been solid for us, you know, I want to see the juniors come through for us as well, breeding our own talent. We have lost a lot of players because we couldn't give them positions. So I think this works well for us. Not that we want to see the back of players, but I think it works well for Pet as well as it works well for us. So
and Pet's also a Kiwi as well, so he's going to revel in the English climate, so to speak, over there as well. So the cold won't be beyond him. And you're also getting leadership and experience that you can't, like, it's going to suck seeing him go, but you're going to get an absolute rose there in the thorn bush. Like, he's the experience and the integrity that he carries himself. Like, there's no wonder why whichever club he goes to, he's not just a bench player or he's not just in the reserve grades. He's always on the field playing first grade every week. His training is second to none. And from all reports, he's an absolute lovable bloke to get around. So you'll be on a winner with Pet.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, because under Willie Peters, we seem to be not just, you know, getting players who are good on the pitch, but people who are good off it as well. People who are good around the camp, you know, people who work hard in training, and you know, from the reports you're giving us, it seems like he's going to fit right into the culture that Willie Peters is trying to create at the Robins. If you look at Super League as a whole, guys, I mean, like you say, you might not get to hear that much information about what's going on and stuff, but if you cast your eyes over Super League, what's your opinion on the competition in the Northern Hemisphere?
It's definitely quick. It's end-to-end football, that's for sure. There's the minimal breakage in plays as well, but it's just non-stop. And I think the NRL tried to emulate that about 10 years ago, but it just, as quick as NRL is, like, you guys go from one end to the other. Like, it's, I don't know if you guys tackle as much as what they do here, but it seems to be each team gets at least an 80-meter set both times, and there's always an attacking kick at the end of it. So it's very fast-paced watching, which is exciting.
Yeah, it is a fast-paced game. And that's, I think, what attracts a lot of people over to the Super League, is that speed, the amount of ball that they might see. I mean, one game that was definitely quick was the State of Origin game. Game two coming up not too far away. What are you expecting from that? Because I know a lot of my listeners and viewers will be tuning into that.
Well, we're very much cut us open and we bleed maroon up here. So, look, we're hoping to wrap the series up 2-0 and then also go to Sydney and do a 3-0 whitewash and really put it to the Blues. It's this one time of year. It is definitely Queensland versus New South Wales, and there is no prisoners taken.
Yeah, it's sure to be an exciting encounter. And very quickly, I just want to get your opinion on it. Looks like the NRL are going to either be playing a fixture or a round of fixtures in Las Vegas in the not-too-distant future. As a supporter of the Cowboys, is this something you're interested in, or would you rather just see all the games played over in Oz?
Look, to grow the game, there's an untapped market over in America. I think the Wolfpack, the Toronto Wolfpack were a part of your second division tier over there. And I think if they played in First Division Super League with the likes of Hull and Wigan and Leeds and St. Helens and the rest, it might have made traction. So Vlandy's our CEO of the NRL over here. He's obviously seeing a money pit, and there is an untapped market in America. I mean, you only have to look at the NFL. There's how many people in England, Australia, the Western world all have a Philadelphia Eagles jersey or a Dallas Cowboys or a Kansas City Chiefs, or someone knows an NFL team. And same with the NBA, everyone's wearing a LeBron James jersey in that. So the Americans have tapped into the markets over here. I think Vlandy's is trying to tap into, well, hang on, if we can grow a bit of game in America, get a few people on board, and it's a money pit that's open to suggestion. And I reckon you guys should ride the coattails. I'd be getting the CEO of the Super League talking to Pete Vlandy's and saying, hey, why don't we do a bit of a joint venture on this and really make it happen.
And I 100% disagree. I think the game should be developed over here before taking it to the US. It's a massive market over there that's already dominated by the NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, IndyCar, NASCAR. And we're trying to take what is a niche sport in America to Las Vegas for, you know, what will effectively be an exhibition match. It'll be a round one match for us. But
it's a junket.
It's 100% a junket, but Peter Vlandy's is very much an event man. So, you know, he created the Everest race in Sydney to rival the
Melbourne Cup.
So he's all about the big show. He's not about doesn't seem to be about growing the game. And I think grassroots footy in Australia needs it more than Las Vegas.
Yeah, although I wouldn't mind going and watching all Kingston Rovers over there for one game in Vegas. That would definitely whet the appetite. But I understand what you're saying. And it seems to be everybody's chasing that one big TV deal, aren't they? That one big paycheck, regardless of what any supporter might think or what's good actually for the game. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with that. And it'd be great to see more interaction between the NRL and Super League, especially with a World Club Challenge. I mean, we was treated to a really good game at the start of the season when St. Helens went down under and beat the Penrith Panthers. What a fantastic spectacle that was. So hopefully there is more to come. But Pistol, Rob Morgan, I really appreciate your time. Thank you for sharing your views on Petr Hicku. It's sure to be an exciting signing for the Robins, and I can't wait to see him over here in season 2024. It's going to be a really exciting time for the Robins. But guys, from on the ranch, North Queensland Cowboys podcast, thank you so much for joining me. Take care, guys.
James, Petr Hicku, I mean, if it comes to fruition and we get the player that's just been spoken about, it seems like we've got a real fantastic player on our hands there. And as soon as you hear someone likened to someone like Kane Lynette, it just whets the appetite, because, you know, Kane Lynette's been an absolute consummate professional in his time with the Robins. That, you know, you only have to see what he's done for the club during his time to see how well he's thought of. So if we get a player in that ilk, it's only going to bode well for the future.
It is. It's like, I was actually really excited listening to what the guys were saying about Hicku. You know, just ticking so many boxes that, you know, we do need, you know, solid defensively. You know, he's got silky hands, so he's good on attack, he's versatile, he's got the leadership, and he's got the experience. Like you say, that's, you know, and the comparison to Kane Lynette, you know, from a Rover supporter, that's probably, you know, one of the ultimate accolade that an incoming NRL player can have, to be likened to someone like Lynette, because as you said in the discussion, you know, he's just been the ultimate professional for us. And, you know, if Hicku was half as good as Lynette's been, then like I say, we're on to winner there. And it's just great to hear that you know what they were saying about him. And like I say, I think the other thing I think that Willie Peters does play, I think a lot of stow on is, you know, what the players are brings to the club, not just on the field. It's that whole environment about building that successful environment. And I think, you know, look at all the players that Willie's brought in. You know, you can't say any of them have been a failure. And I think I'm tremendously excited about the players that we've got coming in now. And so just listening to what the guys were saying about Hiku, just even, you know, whet my appetite even more. And I think, you know, he's already got that experience in the Super League, hasn't he? You know, he's had his 10-game slot with 10-11-game slot with the Wolves a few years ago. And, you know, it's got 10 tries or something like that in that short space of time. And I think so he can certainly play in the UK. It was really interesting what they're saying about him as going as fullback as well. And that, you know, he has got that experience previously there. But that versatility does mean that he can slot into being that fullback or, you know, slot into the centre if we need a centre or play a standoff if we need standoff cover. So, yeah, I'm really, really excited. I'm looking forward to seeing Hiku in a Rover shirt.
Yeah, and what I found really interesting, and look, hey, there's a lot of ifs, buts, maybes, coulda, wouldas, all that kind of stuff going on here. But they did open the door to Hiku potentially coming over to this country a bit earlier. They mentioned the competition for places there at New Zealand, at the North Queensland Cowboys. And they are looking to blood more youngsters. Now, if we look at Lachlan Coo, unfortunately suffered another HIA. Our thoughts with him at this time as well, because it must be a daunting prospect for him after suffering three last season, and we saw what effect that had on him, not just physically, but I think mentally as well. It took a huge toll on him, so there's no doubt there'll be a lot of soul search at the moment as to whether he's going to continue with his career as a professional rugby league player to the end of the season or whether he's going to decide to leave early. What you would say is, though, James, if he did retire, you know, tomorrow,
yeah,
there's a big hole there to fill, isn't there? And yes, we've signed Jack Walker from the Bradford Bulls on the loan to the end of the season, but because of injuries to Ethan Ryan, and obviously the question mark over Lachlan Coote, we're sort of still in the same position if we don't replace Lachlan Coote. So it just tease you a little bit to whether we could see Hiku in a Hull Kingston Rovers shirt this season.
Yes, it was an interesting thing when I saw that, you know, the last sort of day or so. But yeah, from Lachlan Coote's point of view, he's got to think about his future and his health, etc. And I think when he came off on Saturday for his HIA after being clattered, he just looked absolutely distraught. You know, from even where, you know, walking down the touchline, he just looked, he just couldn't believe it. So yeah, if he does decide to retire, you know, everyone will totally understand why and the reasons why he's done that. But if we can bring Hiku in early, you know, that I think that would be great, because it'd allow him to become more familiar with the club and to establish himself with the club and just really shows what he can what he's capable of and shows some of these skills that the guys on the ranch were talking about.
Yeah, one of the players who is here now, recent recruit, probably thrust into the spotlight a lot sooner than he expected. I hope we don't see Jack Walker play this season. Mm-hmm. And that was purely on the basis that if we don't see Jack Walker, it means Lachlan Coote's not being injured and we've got to see him. But we've got a really hot prospect there, haven't we? I think 23 years old, burst onto the scene with the Leeds Rhinos, grand final winner. Unfortunately, he's had a bit of a stop-start career due to injury. He's been playing at fullback for the Bradford Bulls most recently. He is going to play against Catalan. Willie Peters already admitted that. And he is an exciting prospect in himself.
He is. And I remember him, you know, when he came through, he just in that Leeds team, he was a very exciting player. You know, I think he made his debut something like 17, 18 or something like that. And he was just phenomenal talent. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, he just seems to have sort of copying his sort of you know, unfair share of bad luck with there when it comes to injuries. But it'll be interesting to see how he goes. I think, you know, he's obviously wants to get back into Super League, and, you know, the opportunity has arisen for him to come back into Super League. I think also then's the incentive for him that, you know, if he does make a success of it, for the rest of the year, then potentially there's potentially a longer term contract with Rovers for him. But you're right, I think there is certainly that potential there, and I think it's really interesting that even, you know, he was obviously alone on Hull FC for part of last season, and even the Hull FC fans, you know, they normally come out and sort of say how rubbish our signings are. If they've come out and said, yeah, he's going to be a good player, he'd be a good player for you.
Yeah, but to be fair, James, I won't take any notice of the shit that they're
talking. Yeah,
true, yeah. you know, any opinion that they try and offer, some get shut down by me. So, yeah. But on that, I mean, look, he's got it all to play for. I mean, he's training with the Robins full-time. He was being to go on loan to Bradford. If he wasn't selected for the Robins, he was still going to train with them twice a week as well. So he's fully committed. And I think that step up to full-time training is obviously only going to benefit him. It's going to be really interesting to see how he performs for the Robins on Saturday in Catalan. And it is exciting to see him play, but it's a daunting prospect, isn't it, going over to the Dragons, who are white hot at the moment, the top of Super League, they're the top try scorers in the competition. Rovers have already been there once this season. We was on the end of a 14-point deficit defeat. Rovers actually making history in that game with the three head knocks, meaning that we utilised the 18th man, the fair side, in Super League to do so. When you look at this game on the back of three defeats in Super League, James, it's probably not the game that you really want at this stage of the season. But what a time to get a victory if we are able to pull it off.
Yeah, I think. On the back of three defeats, going to Catalan is in the, just as it's starting to get a bit warm, the weather's getting a bit warmer, is probably not the thing you'd look to do. But by the same token, I think, you know, I think historically Catalans have sort of, you know, been beatable at home. You know, we only need to go back to 2019 when we went over there, you know, for, you know, the penultimate round. I think, you know, just after Tony Smith has been announced as coach full time, and went and beat them. And that victory helps us stay up in, ultimately helps us stay up in Super League. It is going to be tough. You know, we've got, you know, we have got lots of, in, you know, a few injuries to key players. But you look at the squad that was announced today and you sort of pick out, you know, a one to 17. It's still looking a pretty decent team. And I think even with the injuries we've had, you look at the potential team we could be putting out, you're thinking, well, actually, the start of the season, I'd take that as a really good quality team. You know, the fact that we've got Jordan Abdul back, you know, is going to be great. He's going to take that pressure off Mikey Lewis and allow sort of Litton to be able to spell with Parcell, which I think, you know, we've obviously seen throughout the season that works really well, you know, when they are able to sort of spell off each other. You look at the forwards and, you know, you've still got, you know, George King's going to be George King. Kennedy's obviously probably going to come back into the squad. I think he's going to have a point or two to prove. You know, hopefully, you know, he'll be leaving the errors and the ill-discipline back in the UK. So I think, yeah, he'll got a point to prove. And if Johnson gets picked again, he's got a point to prove as well. You know, there's probably, you know, potentially with him, you know, contract being dangled in front of him. So it's going to be tough. It is, you know, it always is over there. And as you said, Catalan, you know, the white hot of magic. They just basically blew Wigan off the park in that first sort of 60 minutes or so. You know, full value for what they did. Looking very strong. Got some quality players. You know, big strong forwards. It's going to be tough, but yeah, these are the wins that, you know, sort of, you know, you can look back on and say, yeah, that sort of really kick-started our season. And I think, you know, we need to be going there full of confidence. And I think also it's great that they've actually gone early as well. I've never really been a fan or understood, you know, when they've gone in and out on a day. You know, it's a lot of travelling. The argument was the players want to sleep in their own beds, etc. But, you know, going out today, you know, gives them a full day training tomorrow in France. So come match day, they're nice and relaxed. and not overtired from travelling. You know, I think last time there was like flight delays, etc., which sort of scuppered them a bit to an extent as well. And you know, they're not going to have that this time. So
yeah, time will tell whether this new approach bears any fruits. I mean, Jordan Abdul is back for Saturday. He's been a huge loss for the Robins, not just because of his contribution, but what we've then lost in Jez Litton having to come into the halves. Jordan Abdul, fresh from signing a new two-year contract extension, which will see him at the Robins Hull until at least the end of 2026. Upon signing his contract, he said, with my quad for two seasons in a row, I've missed a heap of games. It's time I give something back to the club. They've invested in me now for the next 2-3 years. The challenge I've set myself is to play as often as I can and as well as I can. And what you would suggest is, James, that if Rovers are going to have any kind of success this season, Jordan Abdul does need to be on that pitch for as long as possible. And it is a massive frustration of mine that we just do not see him out on the green stuff enough at the moment, because he's such an important player for the Robins in such a pivotal position. He does now need to repay us. It's easier said than done because he doesn't control his injuries. I get that, but we need to see him out on the pitch for a good chunk now towards the end of the season.
We do. And I think, you know, when he has played this season, I think, you know, we have seen the, you know, the impact he has on the game and just being able to sort of control the game and just, I think, essentially just terrorise the opposition, really. But you're right. And, you know, he does need to be on that field more often than not. And I will admit,
James, when I saw the contract extension news, I was surprised. I was just
why?
Based on his injury record and the position he plays, we've seen it where it does cost us. It does cost us him not being on the pitch. And at some point, you do have to question, well, if he's going to miss a third of the season. I mean, crazily, James, he's still fourth in the Man of Steel points. So if he comes back on Saturday, but I want to see my six and sevens on the pitch for as long as possible and as playing as many games. And I was just a bit surprised with Jordan Abdul's injury record as it is, that that he's got the extension sort of now, really, because he still had another year to go on his contract.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know what's going on in the background, whether sort of agents are sort of like making waves or noises, etc. And the club are thinking, well, sort of, I think Lewis is signed up till 2025, isn't he? So they probably maybe took a view, well, actually, we want to have that longevity. So at least we know we've got like 2 years of Lewis and Abdul together. And you really wanted to build that squad around them. You were bringing other people in that can, you know, support and sort of complement what they do. You know, we have seen that solid progress this season. And they just probably wanted to sort of have that stability and certainty for the future, rather than sort of going through, I suppose, the merry-go-round this time next year, which it would have been if we were looking for, you know, if he hadn't extended, they'd be sort of saying, actually, yeah, he's going to be out of contract end of next season. So we're going to have to sort of look for another halfback, or it might cost us a lot more than we want to spend. There's other things we want to do, other areas we want to invest in next year at the club in playing position. You know, when you've got potentially Ryan Hall and Lynette going, you might think, they might be thinking, well, actually, those are areas where we want to. So get Abdul tied down, you know, as quickly as possible.
Yeah, one player definitely not featuring against the Catalan Dragons on Saturday is Tom Opacic. He's headed back down under to Australia for the week. He does live over here with his partner and two kids, but he has another son over in Australia. He's gone down there for family reasons. Willie Peters has said that he'll be back for our Challenge Cup fixture against the Salford Red Devils. He's going to be a big miss, James.
He is, yeah. It will be a big miss, and you know, obviously Corey Hall's going to sort of slot into that that position. But from his perspective, I hope he can get whatever he needs to get sorted out, you know, satisfactorily, and he is able to come back and play against in the Salford game.
Yeah, another player who potentially might not play on Saturday is Dean Hadley. He is doubtful for the fixture on Saturday. He's been played at prop over the last few weeks. I suppose if Hadley doesn't play, James, it does throw up a few quandaries in the prop positions and second row, doesn't it, with Batchelor also missing. And, of course, so now out for the season. I mean, the curse of the Rovers strikes again, doesn't it? You just couldn't make it up.
Deja vu, isn't it? It's like that Groundhog Day.
Yeah, you just could not make it up. But that compounded, if Hadley doesn't play on Saturday, will lead to some big changes in the forward department.
Potentially, could they? I mean, would you just sort of, you know, if Hadley's, I mean, you got four, you don't have four props anyway, because you already have King, Kennedy, Luckley, and Stoughton. So for me, you'd probably, Hadley was going to play, then potentially drop into the second round instead of Batch. You'd probably just put Johnson instead of Hadley, and I don't think that would, you'd lose too much from there. Then question is who else would have on the bench. And they'll probably put some, like, maybe Aydin would go on the bench.
Yeah, so in the squad, of course, we've got Jack Walker, Yusuf Aydin, Jimmy Kynhorst, and Phoenix Lohai. So, he's coming to the squad. I mean, Yusuf Aydin yet to make his Super League debut for the Robins. You'd assume that he may be the natural replacement if Hadley doesn't make it, that you'd expect Aydin to come into the bench. I mean, Wood was on the bench against Salford. You'd expect him probably, James, to line up on the right wing. Although in many quarters, there's huge calls to see Louis Senior out there. I mean, I agree. I'd like to see him given another shot on that right wing and out-and-out pacey winger. But we have seen Wood favoured over Senior, and Wood's filled in at a number of positions. So I'm guessing, James, that his versatility is probably what we'll see him through into the side on Saturday.
I get Wood versatile, and I think for me, if he was going to play, Wood, you'd probably put him in the centre instead of Corey Hall, and then still have you enough Senior on the wing. I just can't get why he's not playing. He's not playing Senior, you know. Why wouldn't not play Senior? Like I say, you need an out and out winger. He's got Hall, you know, said he's going to play Corey Hall in the centre. So then you've actually got, you know, pretty pacey right edge then. It is an interesting one. I think, you know, Wood, yeah, he does have that versatility. But again, on Saturday, he didn't really bring him on. Didn't come on till about 10 minutes ago. So, you know, what's the point of having him on the bench if you're only going to then play him 10 minutes? You know, when you've had, you know, you've lost Sue, you've lost Batch, you've lost Coop. Yeah, you know, it just sort of didn't sort of really make sense. So for me, yeah, I would play Senior rather than Wood.
Yeah,
because also you got to think of, you know, Wood, you know, Wood will sort of not give 100%, because, you know, I think whenever he's played, he's never let anybody down. But at the end of the day, he's leaving, and Senior isn't. Senior's still going to be there, and you think, what's the point of having Senior in the squad on a next 3-year contract if you're not going to play him in his. And there's space there in a position he's a specialist in.
Yeah, and it would be good to see a bit of pace added to that Rovers side. We're not blessed with pace at the moment, are we, when you look across the team? So, yeah, I mean, let's see what happens. See if he does get the nod on Saturday. Catalan Dragons, Adam Kieran and Manu Mao, they return to the side. I mean, they've already got Tom Johnston, Sam Tompkins, Mitchell Pearce, Tyrone May, Fuad Yaya, Ben Garcia. I mean, they're pretty much at full strength. They've also got Matt Iku Velu, who they signed from the NRL. He's potentially going to be playing on Saturday. So, hey, look, I think the one thing that Rovers won't do is worry about the opposition too much. They've done well this season to concentrate on their own game. And James, can we do it? Are you confident?
There's no reason why I can't do it. Like I said, it's going to be tough. You know, you go through that Catalan team, and you're thinking it is a very strong team. You know, they've got Mau and Kieran coming back. You know, that just adds to the strength they've got. And, you know, Mitchell Pearson, we just had, he had Wigan on a string on Saturday. He was just absolutely outstanding. But by the same token, you know, Willie Pearce is very strong in saying that, we won't worry about the opposition. Let the opposition worry about us. You know, we can just control. We can only Rovers can only control what they can control, and that's, you know, not making any error. You know, cutting down the errors, cutting down the penalties, and then just being as enterprising as they can. And if they do that and stick to that and stick to the game plan, then yeah, why not? Yeah, Castle. You know, I think we said at the beginning of the season that this year's Super League is going to be the most competitive ever. And I think, you know, if you took Wakefield out of the equation, which I think everybody, you know, most people had, I think it's living up to it. Mm. You look at Rose position now, you know, we're on 16 points in seventh place. We're 2 points off the third place. And with just with a, you know, a bit more luck and a bit more composure, you know, we could have been first or second. You know, those are the fine margins that are happening in the league this season. So everybody apart from Wakefield has got the potential to beat everybody else, I think.
Yeah, plenty of reasons to be positive, as James has just alluded to. I think we can come away from the south of France with the points, and that'll be a welcome boost to Robins, especially going into our Challenge Cup quarter-final tie. This is the Red Robin podcast, which is powered by Budget Ties Auto Centre and 360 Chartered Accountants. Please keep the conversation going by commenting on the stream, getting in touch on social media. It'd be great to hear your views. But for now, please just remember, live, love, laugh and be happy.